fly sequence now.
What's up there, Sparky?
Blessed morning to you guys.
Blessed morning back at you, dog.
Captain Haw.
So yesterday, I left here to go do an event for the Missouri Valley. I walk out the front of the building. I see it's a candy store.
I'll take you to the candy shop.
Wow. And the sky was blue.
I don't ever go out the front of the building. I come in from the lot.
Why do you not go out the front of the building? Oh, that's right, because you have the big hotshot parking spot.
Off the loading dock.
I'm sorry about that. You know, those of us who have to come in the front actually go by the candy store, and we know that it's been there since November.
I had no idea.
I think Cap likes it because he looks in, and there's all of these bright colors. It looks like your closet.
There, lots of distractions. He has nowhere to go because over here there's jelly beans.
Oh, my gosh.
And over there there's Milky Way.
Do I go for the jelly beans? Do I go for the toffee?
This crush is fanning.
I don't know about crushes.
Crushes.
Look, how do you quantify your favorite chocolate?
Because I like a store.
Crushes. It would crush Fannie Mae 4-0.
From the 7th floor of the Tribune Towers.
Boy, this has been tremendously tremendous.
In downtown Chicago.
Kolchak scores. Beauty.
Come on, sucker.
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Let's get it on.
It's the Cap and Haw Show.
Everyone has to do their job.
We're going
to
ball until we fall.
That's a shot and a beer.
Do your job.
That's the Hazleton way.
Let's begin now.
Yes!
I want some candy. Good morning. Welcome in. Captain Haw on the air. Comcast Sportsnet WGN Plus. He's David Haw from the Positive Coaching Alliance.
That's me.
I'm David Kaplan.
Wait, of the two shirts that are going to be mocked this morning, you're going to start with that? You're going to start with me?
Dude, this is Butler.
Mr. Walking Cotton Candy?
Butler National, one of the best courses in the world.
That's great. I'm very proud.
That says,
I'm impressed.
That screams free. Positive Coaching Alliance.
That's
free.
That screams a good organization you're trying to at least bring some attention
absolutely.
To. But you can mock it if you like, Mr. How many different golf shirts do you have?
A lot. I cleaned
how
my
many
closet
different
yesterday.
Days, is that your closet? Out of your closet deep in the back?
I wore this
screaming
before,
to be worn, and I mean screaming loudly.
I love this
wear
shirt.
Wear me, wear
it's
me,
one
wear
of
me.
My favorite shirts. I found some really, really out there stuff yesterday.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Anyway, Mike Jacobson, the Jackal, is our executive producer. Matt Rooney, our associate producer. PG-13, Pat Costello's our great director. How's your weekend, pal?
It was good.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning to you, too. It was a good weekend. Very interesting from both sides of town. If you're following Cubs and the Sox, we were out there at Wrigley Field on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, Cubs had a historic Saturday, not to their liking, but Cole Hamels did something that, well, happens once every 50 years.
Yeah, I was there Friday, and I was there yesterday. I went yesterday as a fan with my son, Brett. I was not there Saturday, but was locked in what was going on. And
yeah.
How about that?
Well, very impressive. There's no doubt about it. The timing of it certainly interesting because of the Cole Hamels trade rumors. And you saw why so many teams are interested in Cole Hamels coming to help them win whatever they want to win. Because he has ace stuff. He was in command, 129 pitches. The Cubs are certainly not playing or hitting well. But I think on that day, Cole Hamels was just masterful, and you have to just give him credit. Sometimes that happens, and it happened to the Cubs on Saturday.
He was outstanding.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Does it make him any more or less attractive? No, I don't think so.
I still believed he was a great addition, whoever gets him, before Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, if he would have given up two hits in the ninth inning, would you have been like, well, don't need him now? No. If you were a Cubs fan, you had hoped to, number one, your team was going to win on Saturday. But number two, you wanted Cole Hamels to resemble the ace that he had not been the previous two
Yeah, maybe
outings.
Not quite to the level that
yeah.
he was.
Yeah, but he overdid it a little bit.
Yeah,
but I don't know how much effect it has on his trade value cap. I think the Rangers, the Dodgers, the Cubs, those are the teams that you hear mentioned in pursuit of a Cole Hamels. I'll be glad when Friday has arrived because of this entire obsession with will they do this? Are they buyers or the sellers? Because on the South side, the Sox sweep the Indians, the lowly Indians.
Mm-hmm.
And now people are still wondering, well, what does that mean for the Sox? Now, does this change your mindset there? First of all, whoever can figure the Sox out, 312-235-2525, please call us up and educate us because I feel pretty stupid watching this team play. Because one week they'll be like, you expect them to be, underachieving, disappointing, the way they have spent most of 2015. But then they'll put a couple victories together in a row. They'll get the starting pitching that has been the best in the American League throughout the month of July, and they'll tease you into thinking, well, maybe, maybe not. Wild card in the American League is attainable. And then you don't know what to expect because just when you start to believe a smidge, they're going to break your heart because they've done it before. So I think you just have to take away from the weekend, Chicago baseball fans. Deep breath. Stay the course.
Stay the course.
I don't know that what happened on either side of town is terribly influential to the point where it changes your mind about what you see.
I would agree with that.
Because I think the Cubs...
I still think the Sox need to overhaul. They're not getting to the playoffs. And I still think the Cubs are a year away from... I did not pick them to go to the playoffs at the start of the year and took a bunch of abuse on Twitter. Said they'd win 83 games. Mm-hmm. I had the Sox win at 78.
Mm-hmm.
I said Chris Bryant would hit 260 to 265 with 23 home runs and got crushed by people. Now he's in the 250s.
You're looking pretty good right now.
And I love Chris Bryant. I think he's a quality human. I think he's a really good baseball player, and I think he's going to be a star. People need to slow the roll a little.
Well, I think that when you look at the Cubs, you have to consistently remind yourself, Cap, that they are a year ahead of schedule. And when you look at the trade scenarios that are maybe in front of them before July 31st deadline, they're not hitting. But you know, we were both out at Wrigley on Friday, and we talked to Joe Maddon. And one of the things he said, and I was writing about, you know, the
approach. Is this
when
he had the catcher's mask on?
No, this is it. We'll get to that in a second.
That was awesome, too.
How this young team, and it's a young team, we'd all agree, how this young team handles failure is going to be what determines how much success they have. And this is all part of that development process, right?
Mm-hmm.
Any parent can relate to this. You have to learn how to deal with failure. This is good for the Cubs in the long run.
No question.
And letting them work through this, I don't know that you want to unload any of your top prospects in a panic move to try to get into a playoff wild card scenario, which is one game, promises you one game. There's a lot more promise in the Cubs system beyond that. I don't know if you overreact to this weekend getting swept by the lowly Phillies at all if you're the Cubs. Now, on the same token, but the White Sox, you know, I don't know that you're any less motivated to trade Jeff Samardzija today before his next start tomorrow than you were last Thursday. Because I still think that you can get something for him. I still think that's what you want to do.
Okay, and what if he goes out and gets hurt tomorrow?
Exactly. Do you let him pitch tomorrow?
No.
Because if he goes out and gets hurt tomorrow, then he goes on the DL or something, you know, you hope not. He's a very durable pitcher. It would be a surprise. But you still look at, you probably have to keep him then, make a qualifying offer, lose him to free agency for a draft pick. I still think you could get something for him in return for a team that needs to be looking forward more than in the immediate future.
Agreed.
So
totally agree.
I don't know if Sox or Cubs fans agree with that, but that'd be my takeaway for the weekend. But we'll talk about the Cubs. Nice. Chris Bryant today, 11:30.
Yep, we'll have Chris Bryant at 11:30. We'll have Danny Wiederer in studio, Bears beat writer from the Tribune. Great story on John Fox. And at 9:55, we'll get you set for the opening week of Bears camp with the one and only, the great Dan Hampton, the Hall of Famer.
Yeah, will be he with said us. Some things recently I really want to ask him about because I don't necessarily agree with some of his overall thoughts on Cutler, generally speaking. So it'd be good to talk to Hamp.
All right, we got all that coming up. Hey, the ultimate experience is available to you at the all-new Samsung Curve 4K Ultra HD TV app in Glenview. Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet smart TV functions available. Come into app today, see the complete selection of Samsung electronics, or call them at 847-544-2228, 847-544-2228 for complete satisfaction, free delivery, and a better experience. Shop where we shop. It's apt. A-B-T. App.com, the website. Ask for the great Steve Shapiro. App-pleasing people. Since 1936, I went out and paid a condolence call to the family of the late Bob Apt, who died on Friday. We did some comments on him then. Today is their big family autism golf outing. No, honor his memory again there, but it was really cool. President and CEO of Sony was there.
Wow.
Flew in.
Yeah,
I mean, really cool.
He had an impact on a lot of people's
lives.
He
did. It was packed, and it was A beautiful, beautiful service. And again, our deepest sympathies to the family of Bob Apt, the CEO of Apt, who passed away on Friday. 312-235-2525. We'll take a quick timeout. Lots to talk about. Plus, a jerky Hall of Famer. What a shock. Tell David who that was after this.
It's the Cap and Haw Show on WGN Plus and Comcast Sportsnet.
Two down, Brown in the air. Soler will not get it. It'll get to the wall. Howard's going to score. So will Galvis. Brown to third. It's their third triple. 8-2.
Oh, wow. Obviously a terrible day. Give the Phillies credit. They have absolutely mangled us hitting-wise. All extra base hits. Didn't give us a chance, so give them some credit, man. We just did not play up to their standards right now. They were the much better team for 3 days.
Highlight courtesy of ABC 7, great Len Casper and Jimmy DeShays, and then you heard Joe Maddon, who started his press conference after getting swept away by the Phillies, talking about how cool it was to watch David Ross do something that probably hadn't happened since Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
Pitch the ninth and then
did that bother you? Did that bother some Cub fans?
Why?
Well, I think that bothered some Cub fans because the team manager of the team that just got swept by the worst team in the National League basically went in there sort of laughing at the idea that, oh, this was fun regardless. It didn't bother me because I think that if you're going to compliment Joe Maddon on his approach, on keeping things loose, on creating the culture that is conducive to developing young players, to have them deal with adversity, to go through the long, long season that it is. You've got to understand this is all part of that. You don't like it because your Cubs have lost and your expectations have been raised a little bit, and you're starting to think, you've already got a text line, oh yeah, don't put any more pressure on the Cubs. It's only been 107 years. Okay. This doesn't fall into that category of relieving the pressure of not putting the pressure on the Cubs to win. This is all part of the same plan. The plan is to gut the team, gut the park, start to replenish a farm system, start to rely on those players that you've replenished the farm system with to develop physically, emotionally. You know, you want them mentally tough too, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is all part of that plan. Joe Maddon arriving in December accelerated it a little bit, a lot. I think maybe by a year.
That Anthony Rizzo's comment, we're going to win the division.
Fine.
All of it.
Be ambitious. You're young. You think big.
Mm-hmm.
But him coming on, you know, going to the interview room and having a sense of humor about what he just saw in the moment he just created, I think that's all part of it. It's relieving the pressure. It's look at me. I'm laughing. They should be laughing. I don't want them pressing.
Right. If that had been Pinella, he would have been must watch because he would have been mad and all of it.
He'd have been sending messages through the media.
What kind of baseball do you play?
Yeah, exactly. Combative.
I'm not a damn dummy.
Dour. There are different ways to run your clubhouse. There are different ways to different tones to the, you know, that you want to set. I think that if you're going to applaud Joe Maddon for creating an environment that is, you know, pressure free, then you can't complain about the David Ross, you know, Babe Ruth comparison after you just got swept. Either you believe in what Joe Maddon's doing or you're not, or you don't. Either you believe in magic.
Can't have it both ways.
Yeah, either you believe in magic or you don't, Cap.
Agreed.
And so I don't have a big problem with that. I know that probably some people were hearing from the text already. You know, you're letting them off the hook. You know, the Cubs need to be more aggressive here. Trade deadline this, trade deadline that. I think the trade deadline stuff, man, you know, I understand the David Price, Cole Hamels thing. You've got to have these conversations. But is any move you make at the trade deadline going to convince you the Cubs are, you know, going to over the top? They're going to be in the playoffs.
No,
they're going to catch the Giants. They're going to do all this or that. No,
that's why if I make a move for a good starter, I'm not talking about a back of the rotation guy, which I think they'll do. I'm talking Cole Hamels because you got him for 3 or 4 more years. To go get David Price right now and give up really good players is stupid.
I don't disagree with that. But I think what happens is that, you know, maybe part of it is our, you know, and our, meaning the media. We live in a 24/7, you know, society now, where social media has created this obsession with July 31st, the trade deadline. We start talking about it in June. It's the only thing that we take away, you know, it's one of the main topics of conversation ad nauseum for the entire month. And so fans interpret that as it means that's all that matters. It's all that matters. It's not all that matters if you're the Cub fan. It shouldn't be.
Agreed.
Believe in what you, the way you went into this season. Be happy with what you have.
I had told everyone at the start of the season they're going to win 83 games. They're going to have a really entertaining year. You're going to see the young guys look like, hey, they might have something here. People would have been, where do I sign up? But now they got a little taste of leading the wild card till about 4 days ago, and it's not enough. They want more.
They want more.
Which is understandable.
They want Cole Hamels to start, you know, game one of the playoff series in October. It's good to have dreams, but you have to realize that, you know, these trades aren't as easy to make as people make it sound, and this young teams are going to be prone to ups and downs. That's what you get when you get an inconsistent team. You often play to the level of your competition. They look great against the good teams. They look like, oh boy, you know, they can compete. Their adrenaline is high. They intensity is high because that's the way young players approach it. They know what's going on. And then they have natural letdowns against teams like the Phillies that come in as the last place team hot after the All-Star break and take care of business.
They better not have a letdown starting tonight with Colorado. Enough's enough. Let's go.
Right. I think that's a good attitude. That's the way you have to look at it, Cap. But if they don't win tonight, the season's not over and the plan's not fail.
Agreed.
That's not a failure.
But you've got three with Colorado, four with Milwaukee. Out of those seven, I think they need to go 5-2. 4-3, 5-2.
It's good to have goals. You want to have goals.
Yep.
But as I wrote over, you're establishing a core. You're creating an identity. This, you know, and I got some interesting email over the weekend when I said, does anybody ask a question in the column that I wrote in Sunday's paper? Do you look at the 2015 Cubs? Does it remind anybody at all in town of the 2008-2009 Blackhawks?
Mm-hmm.
Not, that doesn't mean the Cubs are going to go win three of the next six titles.
No, but at the same stage.
At the same stage. You're building something and you're identifying an identity and you're identifying traits in draft picks and young players that you want to develop and hone and all those things. And when you see Ian Happ out there Friday taking batting practice, Cap, and you see Kyle Schwarber coming into the major league team and making an impact in his intangibles, and you talk to people who identified those from day one, and you look at Bryant, and you look at Russell, and you look at Soler, and you look at Rizzo, and you see the same sorts of things, the same sorts of traits. They're trying to build something. It doesn't happen overnight. And I know it's been 107 years. But I don't know if that means you overreact and you feel a bigger, larger sense of urgency at the trade deadline than really you should. That's what I think the danger is here in having those expectations raised. Theo's not going to panic.
He's not.
He knows what's going on.
He and Jed, they don't panic.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to. So, and on the other side of town, you got the Sox. And
great weekend.
How great?
They didn't walk a batter in four games. Their starting pitching was outstanding. Offense was really good when it had to be.
Five games between them and the
Carlos
Twins.
Sanchez hadn't hit a home run in his career. He hits one Saturday and one Sunday.
I'm going to talk about him. I want to talk about the Sox approach to second base. I'm curious about your thoughts on that.
Interestingly enough, Micah Johnson up to, I think he's hitting 329 at AAA.
Saw that.
So
they've got a couple guys there that are very promising. But I want to know what is the next step, the right step for them.
And the 9 a.m. hour, sponsored by the great people at Apt Electronics in Glenview, abt.com. And I forgot to tell you the Jerky Hall of Famer.
Oh,
complete idiot.
We'll do that when we come back. 847 has a question texting in. Hey, Cap, you got an LPGA event today?
Maybe I do. Maybe I do.
What's that mean?
I might have an LPGA
you
event.
You don't?
Today.
It was just a funny text. Relax. It's okay. Let's have some fun with you.
It's all already killing me on Twitter. How long till I at the Cabman starts hearing about the pink shirt? This was at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
1 second. Oh, that didn't take long.
Cap, you can't wear that shirt, though, and not expect to hear about something and hurt people's eyes.
Yeah. Call me Bubblicious. That's what I'm getting. Bubblicious. Hey, Bubblicious.
Capalicious. There we go.
312-235-2525. Maybe the white belt. They haven't seen the white belt that goes with it.
And you are wearing shorts.
I am. Some gray and white patterned shorts, pink shirt, a white belt, white golf shoes today.
There you go.
That's a good look.
That's a good look.
Playing golf today. 312-235-2525. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
It's Cap and Haw.
That ball hit hard. He looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. His first home run. Coming last night, his second. Today, and it's 1-0. Good guy.
You know, he has a little pop in there, but, you know, as far as him just swinging the bat, this is a little more of what he is. And, you know, defensively, we've seen it the whole time. But, you know, it's a credit to him that he's, you know, stayed positive and worked at it and gotten better.
Hawkeroo on the call on Comcast Sportsnet, rocking Robin Ventura after the ballgame. Sox 2-1 winners over the reeling, struggling Indians, who were Sports Illustrated's pick to win the World Series. Kevin Haw, right here, CSN Chicago, WGN Plus.
I think they'd want that one back. Yesterday, Carlos Rodon was outstanding. His control was terrific, and he got some defensive help behind him, and I thought the double play from Alexei to Carlos Sanchez, who they were talking about there, his struggles at the plate, he's starting to break out of that. But that double play, oh, it was tremendous. And I think that reminded you just how good of a defensive second baseman Carlos Sanchez is and continues to be. He's finally starting to hit. In his last 16 games, he's hitting .368 in 59 plate appearances. His average dipped to a season low 141 on June 20th. So they stuck with him. They stuck with the guy that was hitting like somebody who was overmatched by major league pitching. Anyone that watched Carlos Sanchez in June, and you had no choice because the Sox kept trotting him out there, you wondered, I wondered, had they given Micah Johnson this many chances, what would he be right now? How good would he be right now? How do you...
They were mad at Micah Johnson, though, for his defense.
They definitely made a point. They made him an example, Cap. Is that impulsive? Is that smart? Was that fair? Micah Johnson, I think overall, would be considered more dynamic offensively, gives you more of a threat with the stolen base possibility than Carlos Sanchez does. Defensively, he got off to a shaky start. Base running-wise, he was not very intelligent.
And that's why they said, you're going back down, you're going to learn some of those things.
They made him an example
on
a team full of guys who made the similar mistakes. I just wonder, at what point, what do you do now? You are certainly committed to Carlos Sanchez because right now the arrow's pointing up.
No question about
And, you know, I just it's fascinating to me the two different approaches they've taken with two guys at the same position. You have to admit, I mean, at one point, Carlos Sanchez is like, why are you out there? I guess has he justified their faith in him? Does this justify an organization's faith in the way they chose to develop a player and the way that the path that they chose for him? You see it all the time. Look at Addison Russell. Speaking of struggling second baseman, you look at his numbers this year. Not too good.
Very good defensively.
He's very good defensively. He's very disappointing offensively so far. I know he homered
21.
Yesterday, right? He's 21. All the things that you – how old is Carlos Sanchez?
I'm going to guess and say he's 24.
I don't know about that. I need to check that out.
Addison Russell just turned 21 in January. Carlos Sanchez. Addison Russell, by the way,
he's 23. Carlos Sanchez is 23 years old.
Addison Russell's hitting .232.
.232, and now after Sanchez's hot streak, he's hitting a robust .221. You've got two second basemen that at times have been overmatched offensively. And Addison Russell is deemed untouchable, and Carlos Sanchez is deemed lucky to be there. I think that's interesting to me.
Well, I don't think that Addison Russell and Carlos Sanchez are comparable on what the scouts have said about them.
True. Without question. You're right. So people that maybe are – does anything that happened with the way the Sox have been patient with Carlos Sanchez influence your thinking if you're – you know, how the Cubs should handle Addison Russell? Like being patient with him.
Yeah, just leave him there.
Just leave him there. Leave him be. What other options do they have?
Anyway, not a lot.
Not a lot. Although Chicago seems to have on both sides of town a surplus of middle infield prospects. You look at Russell. You look at Baez, who, by the way, got going last night in Arizona, right? He's playing in Arizona.
He is, and then he's going to move to Iowa, and then from there, hopefully back to the big leagues.
Carlos Sanchez is fun to watch defensively. I'm surprised he's still in the lineup.
You still in love with Starlin?
You're totally misrepresenting my opinion on Starlin Castro.
You would not trade him is exactly what you said.
Yeah. What day did we have the conversation? Are you of the mindset that you cannot ever come away from a position once you have established it?
I never change.
You like to put that sucker in granite, right?
I never flip-flop.
If you want to say that you are not open-minded, I'm with you. But if you want to say you never flip-flop, that's ridiculous.
Never.
You flip-flop all the time.
I know.
I think that it pays to be fluid as you near July 31st. Starlin Castro would be in play, but I would be very careful.
Right now you're selling low.
Right. I would not be motivated to sell a Starlin Castro. I still think he probably, my scenario opposed to you, who would you rather have at bat in September with two runners on in the eighth inning of a game, him or Addison Russell? At one point, that was a really interesting debate.
Now it's
like, well, who's going to strike out first?
Right.
How many pitches is it going to take? It'd be foolish for me to sit here and defend the idea of Starlin Castro having a good season. I'm not going to do that. At the time we were having that discussion was about a month ago, and I don't think that I would have been highly motivated to trade Starlin Castro. I still wouldn't be highly motivated to trade him, but if it helps you get to a point where you're better long-term.
He's not their kind of player. He's not.
Well, that's becoming more and more obvious. At the same time, what are your alternatives at shortstop? Because Addison Russell is not looking. I mean, I think he's reminding everybody to slow down or just to relax a little bit and be realistic about what you have in young prospects.
I would stick Addy at short and leave him there.
And you're content with your shortstop hitting .233.
He's 21. I'm fine with it.
Okay. Who's going to play second there, champ?
Baez.
Benny
Zobrist, if I can go make that deal.
And because Baez has done what at the major league level to convince you that he's
nothing,
a keeper?
But I, again, did not plan on this team going to the playoffs. So if they get there, great. But if they don't, I'm okay with that. They've shown me brightness for the future.
And Starlin Castro's track record is just negligible?
No.
I mean that, you know, and you can't say that to some people without people jumping down your throat. I'm just saying, what value does his track record have? What confidence does it provide you that he might break out of this?
Oh, I think he will. He's a good hitter.
Okay.
But I would still trade him. He's a low OBP guy. He's not a real focused guy at times. He's not an elite defender. He doesn't have power. He doesn't drive in runs. He does nothing spectacularly well on the field.
He has a spectacularly affordable contract.
Right.
That's the only thing spectacular about him right now.
He's an average baseball player.
Well, I think that you can make that statement with certainty now or with feeling very good about yourself because you're like, he's got to get. But at the beginning of the year, he was not average. I don't think you could say he was average.
He wasn't elite. Not in one category do you go, checkbox.
But you're willing to say, to assign the elite label to players who have never achieved it yet on the major league level.
No, but I see the way they play, and I think they fit more what Theo and Jed are looking for. Doesn't
Baez?
Mean it's gonna work.
Baez even?
No, I'm not convinced there.
Okay, I'm not just convinced. Getting you there. So you're essentially saying that Addison Russell, that's the player you'd like to see play shortstop.
Correct.
Well, I would like to know what the alternative. Who are you trading him for? What are you getting in return? It's always the equation. The equation that you presented to me before, yeah, I had some reservations about trading Starlin Castro. Do I love him? You're totally putting words in my mouth. You and half the texters out there. I mean, come on. I never said, I love Starler Castro. Just like I wouldn't say, I love Jay Cutler. I get accused of being a Jay Cutler guy because I'm trying to reasonably look at this and say, you know, he doesn't have to be great.
Did you see Sports Talk Live on Friday?
I was at the Wrigley Field on Friday.
That's right. The Wrigley Field?
What did I say Jeff the Gordon? Wrigley Field? I was at Wrigley Field
so
on Friday.
I'm doing the show and Dan Cahill's on there.
Yeah?
Fine management type from the Sun-Times.
Uh-huh.
And he said on air, he goes, I have a bone to pick with you. I said, what did I do? He said, you let Haw twist you around on an issue on Friday show. And I said, on what? He said, you are right there with the rest of us that Cutler's awful and blah, blah, blah. And you let Haw twist you into saying he can be decent.
No, you did say that. I wrote it down.
And I said, he can be decent.
Yeah.
Do I think I can win a Super Bowl with him? Absolutely not. Would I get rid of him if I was the owner? Absolutely. But he could be decent.
Well, good for you. Sticking to your
stuck to my guns.
Stuck to your guns after you flip-flop back to safe ground. I don't know why people are so quick to want to have to believe something about Jay Cutler that they're set in stone. Same with Castro. Things change. Yeah, Cutler can be decent.
Can.
And he could be decent and it wouldn't matter this year.
Right.
That was the point. That was the context of that conversation.
Before we go to these calls, let me just give you the little story that I wanted to
tell
you.
Yeah, the jerky Hall of Famer?
Yeah. So Reggie Jackson, I've been around.
Yeah. Okay.
He's a jerk. Hall of Famer Reggie Jackson confirmed that he got into an altercation with a fan outside a Cooperstown restaurant on Friday night, but denied a report that the encounter turned physical. New York Daily News reported Jackson, who's in Cooperstown for the Hall of Fame inductions for baseball this weekend, was involved in what appeared to be a heated physical confrontation with an autograph seeker. TMZ posted a 17-second video of the encounter on Saturday. Jackson told reporters he ate dinner with a few friends at a sushi restaurant, leading through a back entrance when a group of fans began to gather. He was approached by one fan who had already gotten an autograph from him earlier Friday on a golf course.
Yeah.
Jackson said he used profanity, and I heard the profanity was vile. I mean, not just this is BS. He went to the nth degree. I was upset because it was kind of an over-and-over thing, Jackson said. It's 10 at night. It's time to go home. Leave us alone. So the words got heated. But as far as anybody touching someone, that did not come from me. Correct. From what I was told by someone who was there this weekend,
mm-hmm.
they said it was not Jackson who got physical. It was the guys from a card and memorabilia store in Cooperstown that had hired him
mm-hmm.
for the signing. They all went to dinner. These guys got physical, allegedly. With the 48-year-old gentleman who wanted another autograph. Jackson went to Twitter.
If you're a 48-year-old gentleman arguing over an autograph, you got issues.
But
you got issues.
He didn't argue. He asked, and Jackson went off on him. So Jackson has tweeted now, at Mr. October, a sincere apology for my profanity in public to all fans. Certainly not a way to communicate, mad or not, no excuse.
Okay, good for him. Yeah, I understand.
He's still a grade-A jackass.
Well, he is the straw that stirs the drink. And he's still stirring.
That was Adam Eaton.
He's still stirring things up. Is that Adam Eaton? Yeah. Hey, why are you so willing to be patient? I'm opening up a can of worms, I'm sure. Why are you so willing to be patient with Addy, as you now have referred to him, Addison Russell,
mm-hmm.
and Baez, you know, Javi, your guy, Javi Baez. And certainly Chris Bryant is going through his struggles. We'll talk to you at 11:30. But these guys are young. I get the age factor. I don't think I've ever heard you say, you know, with Starlin Castro, I think that we need to be patient here. We need to
because
let him play out of
this. Because he's been playing since 2010.
But that you're going to hold that – I mean, really, though, you think he's beyond repair?
No, I didn't say that. I said I think he can be an okay hitter.
But you don't want to be patient letting him work through a tough season.
Because I don't believe that he's their kind of player. Not high OBP, not elite defensively, not a run producer, not a home run hitter. I just don't see it. Hey, Wintrust loves good rivalry. Who doesn't? I do here in Chi-Town. One of the best, baby. Cubs, Sox, Northside, Southside, Blue versus Black. Put your money where your heart is, Chicago. Decide for your side. The Cubs or White Sox checking account from your local Wintrust Community Bank. It even comes with your very own Cubs or Sox debit card, so you can show your baseball pride every time you make a purchase. You can cheer for your team, tweeting or Instagramming with the hashtag DecideCubs or hashtag DecideSox. When you choose either online or in the bank, you'll help Wintrust donate up to $500,000 Cubs and White Sox charities. Follow along online, see whose fans are cheering the loudest, and learn more at wintrust.com/youdecide. Banking services provided by Wintrust Community Banks, Chicago Cubs, Chicago White Sox trademarks used with permission. Member FDIC. Grab a quick timeout. We'll start with your calls next. Levante, Mike, Joe.
815.
Joe says I jinxed the Cubs. Okay, yeah, great.
I think you did. 815 texts in the dictionary definition of decent. Conforming with generally accepted standards of respectable behavior.
There you go.
Of an acceptable standard, satisfactory. That's Cuddy.
He's decent.
He's decent.
Take a quick time out. Be right back to Cap'n Haw.
Now back to Cap'n Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
And Hamels with a 3-2 pitch. Swing and a high fly ball. Deep center field. Herrera back on the track. And he... Oh. Did he make the catch? He fell did. Down and he's got it. He's got it. Odubel Herrera has got it. And Cole Hamels has a no-hitter.
Nothing on top of winning a World Series, but I think this is probably, you know, on that top list. You know, that's right under it. You know, being able to go out there and feel confident, you know, executing pitches, being able to keep guys, especially the type of team that I was facing, you know, they're the young, you know, future of the Cubs.
Phillies Radio and Cole Hamels, who no-hit Chicago. First time in 50 years since Sandy Koufax threw a perfect game at Ron Santo and the boys way back in 65. Kevin Haw, Comcast Sports at WGN Plus.
Was that the last history that Cole Hamels will be part of and help contribute to making at Wrigley Field this year?
Good question.
Is he going to be the guy?
I would do what I had to do within reason to get him to Chicago.
Within reason. Word is that they're asking for a lot.
Yep.
A lot. And the Rangers seem to have a lot to, that they might be willing to give, according to reports. Dodgers also in the mix. David Price also has not been officially put on the market by the Tigers, from what reports say.
That one doesn't intrigue me.
David Price doesn't intrigue you?
Not because he's going to be a rental. I don't think the Cubs are winning the World Series. Not sure they're getting to the playoffs. So why give up a decent package for 10, 12 starts of David Price?
It would take a decent package, too. So I'm with you. I don't know that you have to go down that road.
Sign him in the offseason if that's who you want.
Get him for free. I mean, free meaning if you count currency in the way of prospects, mm-hmm. You don't have to give up anything.
Just write him a check.
Right. Just money.
Let's go to the phones. 312-235-2525. Joe's in Chicago. He's first.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Joe, what's up there, buddy?
Hey, how are you guys?
We're good. What's up there, Cookie?
Cap, the jinx of the Cubs, we had the GOAT. We had the black cat. We had that guy in left field that took that foul ball away.
Yeah.
And now you go to Rome, you give the Pope a cap, and you come back, and the Phillies sweep us, and they no-hit us. I think you are the latest jinx on the Cubs.
I think you are completely deranged, because when I was there and gave the hat, they took 2 of 3 in Atlanta there, Cookie. So that may be the most ridiculous call of the year.
Amen.
Yeah, but you still are a jinx.
Hey, Joe.
What?
You, my friend, have issues.
Joe, you can call back anytime, and I won't call you deranged.
Okay.
All right, thanks for the phone call.
I'm an 87-year-old Cub fan, so I've been around.
Yeah, maybe you're the jinx. We haven't won in your lifetime.
Yes, for sure.
All right, Joe. Okay, have a good week, buddy.
Thanks, Joe.
You too.
See you later.
Do you know Joe?
I don't.
You just called him deranged?
Yeah.
You're a bit touchy there, pal. Come on. He's not deranged. He's just having some fun.
I like Joe. He's a fellow Cub fan.
You like Joe. What would you talk to him? What would you call him if you didn't like Joe?
But calling me that because I gave
a hat
to the Pope?
Touchy, touchy, touchy.
Levante in Chicago. What's up, Levante?
Hey, Levante.
David?
How you doing, Cap? How you doing, huh?
Good.
What's up there, buddy?
First, Cap, I want to say I like your pink shirt, and
you're
not a jinx.
Thank you. You're a good man, Levante.
You're going to Malnati's.
We got you a Lou Malnati's gift card.
Thank you. What I want to say is, the Cubs, as far as their fans are concerned, we need to be more patient. Our farm system is A-class. Our front office is A-class, and our manager is first to nine. And as far as the Sox, we need to rebuild. I'll hang up and let y'all comment on that.
Thanks, Levante. I think that's sort of conventional wisdom. You look at the Cubs and they have a plan. They're
supposed to give him pizza, dude.
Oh, call back, Levante.
Levante. He just screwed you out of a free Lou Malnati's.
I don't know why I do that.
That is so weak.
I don't know why I do that. I need to keep my fingers away from the phones. Stop. I just hung up on him. Levante, call back.
Call get back, your pizza. Levante. Good luck getting
And if
through.
You want to compliment Cap again, he'll probably
get
welcome
another
it.
Pizza.
Get another pizza. Where was I? Yeah, you know, the Sox still in rebuilding mode. I don't see anything differently. I'm impressed by their ability to sweep the last place Indians, the most disappointing team in the American League. The Indians have replaced the White Sox as the most disappointing team in the American
Indians
League.
Indians are awful.
How did they get that
They've
awful?
They've got good pitching.
Yes, they do, but they stink. And, you know, I heard Hawk and Stoney talking about the attendance yesterday at Progressive Field. 17,000 again today. You know, the implication, they have.
Was Flo there?
Worse issues attendance-wise than the Sox.
Was Flo there?
Flo?
Isn't that the lady on the Progressive insurance ads?
I don't know. I don't have those memorized.
You need to bring her out for an appearance.
Is Flo, what does Flo look like?
The black-haired lady. Mike, back
Flo
me up here.
Flo Progressive ads?
Isn't Flo the lady that does all the Progressive insurance ads?
Yeah. I didn't know she was an Indians fan.
I still have.
It's Progressive Field.
I just got it.
I need
now
to,
I get it. Okay.
I need to watch. Commercials. I'm getting a that's whack, bro. Already, Haw still having issues with the phone lines.
That's whack, bro. Haw handling the phones. That's whack, bro. Back to the phones okay. We go. Mike's in California. Hey, Mike. What's up at CA, buddy?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Hey, I talk about deranged. You can count me among one of them after thinking that we're going to make the playoffs after this weekend. And talking about Castro. You got to, if they're going to make a deal, you got to somehow make somebody take him because he has shown that he just can't do it. You can put a hula hoop around him the way he bails out every time he swings.
Look, I'm not a huge Starlin guy as a player. He's a nice young man to deal with. I would have traded him when his value was at a higher level.
Let's keep the eye on the ball here, guys. Let's keep the eye on the ball. You can rip Castro and his mechanics and his decline and all that. Okay, the last few weeks or so, Anthony Rizzo's not hitting. Chris Bryant's not hitting.
He looks terrible
okay.
up there, too.
Dexter Fowler has had a nice second half. But there are guys in the lineup besides Starlin Castro that have disappointed you, that are not producing.
Rizzo's six for his last 40.
Machine.
Right now, relax. He's a rookie. Relax.
I know.
I hear you, though,
but
Mike.
But you know what? I agree. As we get closer to September or whatever, you got to bring Baez back up, put him at second, put Russell at third. And if you haven't already gotten rid of Castro, you're going to have to sit him down if he doesn't play.
What do you mean put Russell at third?
I mean at short, I meant.
Yeah.
I meant at short.
Yeah.
Put Baez back at second. He can come up in August or whatever, whenever he's ready. And as long as they're playing all these rookies, put him back in there.
I think that playing more rookies, the better. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the phone call. Can I hang up on him now?
All right.
I'm not hanging up. Okay, there you go. Boom.
Thank you. Chris Bryant is 23. Addison Russell is 21. 25 for Anthony Rizzo. 25 for Starlin Castro.
Soler,
23.
You need more power
Schwarber,
out of him.
Schwarber, 22.
You need more power out of Soler.
No question.
You'd like to get that. You'd like to get more out of your catching
Rizzo six
position.
For his last 40.
I know. He's struggling. It's going to happen throughout the course of a long season. I'd like to see Kyle Schwarber in the lineup more. If there's one thing that I, you know, found myself questioning Joe Maddon, which you can question him. He's a manager in a sports town, okay? He's not beyond reproach. I don't care about the David Ross stuff and his approach. I love his mentality. But I would have liked to see Kyle Schwarber more than just pinch hit against Cole Hamels. Why can't he catch Arrieta? Why is that a thing?
Well, I'm not saying that he can't.
Well, he didn't.
They're saying at this point they're trying to develop him as a catcher.
Why?
That he's not ready to do that.
What doesn't he do well enough so he can catch Jason Hamill, but he can't catch Arrieta? Cap, you're an offensive team that's struggling right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Friday, I get it. You want John Lester, all his mindset and all his idiosyncrasies have to be exactly aligned, and he's got to have the biorhythms correct, and David Ross has to be his catcher. So you don't have Kyle Schwarber there. Fine.
But he pitched well enough to win.
Okay, that's beside the point. Schwarber's not in the lineup Friday. I get it. But why not Saturday? You had a team that's struggling offensively. I didn't get that. I know it's lefty-lefty, but come on. You're not getting much out of your catching position offensively if Kyle Schwarber's not behind the plate. So put him behind the plate as much as possible. Develop him. This is a season of development. Kyle Schwarber, if he's in a Cub uniform, if John Lester isn't pitching, Kyle Schwarber should be catching. And when John Lester pitches, put him out in left field like they did for the ninth inning yesterday.
312-235-2525. We'll get more of your calls, but we'll also chat with the Hall of Famer, the Danimal, Dan Hampton's coming up.